Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Great morning to you. It's Tuesday, June 16th, 2015. You have tuned in to Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everybody, always available to you via our website, bakiministries.wix.com/baki. I am your host, Rev J, and of course, what? I'm excited that you tuned in today. If you've been following us, you've noticed on social media that we are counting down to our 300th episode, 300 live episodes. So excited. Okay. And so for the whole month of June, like, our focus has just been basically to tell you guys the background of the ministry and our history and why it is that we continue to do what we do. Now, at no point in time have I ever painted, like, a rosy picture for you guys of, you know, the foundation. Like, initially, you know, I was going to church on a consistent and regular basis. I was very active in the church. We would do the morning service, evening service, weekday service, weekend service. Pretty much we were in church like 6-7 days a week, nonstop, no hesitation. That was the lifestyle we were leading. During one particular Sunday, pastor preached a sermon. He says, "I'm blessed and I know it." And from that sermon, he was throwing all these points. And it came to me, I was like, wait, if he's blessed and he knows it, then we should be blessed and we should know it, and then we should raise to a certain level of lifestyle or expectation based upon the fact that we're blessed. And it shouldn't just be cliche. And it just really worked on me, and it just really got into my mindset, like, wow, so many things are so quote-unquote cliche-ish, but they're not reality, because if they're reality, there would be the manifestation of things. Like someone who goes to medical school, after a while, if they graduate, they can become a doctor. If you go to law school, after a while, if you graduate, you become a lawyer. You go to art school, after a while, you become an artist. Yes. Some of us have those gifts and those talents to lean in those directions. But then when you match it with the classwork and the diligence and the dissertations and things of that nature, it only further shapes your knowledge, your background, your foundation in those areas. And then after a while of going to school in those areas and then graduating, you get to actually go out and practice. Or some of us had the opportunity to intern in those fields, so you get another perspective of your career field. Now, what I find interesting is that, personally for me, if I have to go somewhere, if I need services, I prefer someone who has been in the field. I prefer experience. Not necessarily the newest technology, but I need someone who's been in the system, who knows this may work and this may not work, and here are the consequences and the options and opportunities of working that system. And so we're looking for people with experience. The same is true on a spiritual path. See, I found it very interesting that a lot of people go into a building week in and week out religiously and never accept the full responsibility of being a part of that association. If I say that I'm of a certain thing, it's because I've chosen to believe and research and do the diligent work that was necessary for me to be that thing, because I'm not going to call myself something I haven't studied and haven't been really approved for, except for when I had my kids. I called myself mother because when you give birth, that's what they call you, but it has been a process of consistent, nonstop learning, because every day they propose something new and different, and you have to look at them, and you're just like, what? Does it make? Okay, let me learn from this. Let me not get into my feelings. Let me not get into my emotions, but let me chalk this up as experience and be the best version of that I can be. So with me, be the best version of a parent that I can be based upon the information that they've given me. Now, that was a hands-on job. Other than that, any other title that I've accepted is because I've chosen to study, I've chosen to apply the study, I've tested out the theory, and I've gotten around those who had experience with it. Now, when you get around people who have, quote-unquote, experience, it's a whole bunch of them, and they call themselves sometimes experts. And then there are some who don't call themselves anything, but they should be considered experts because they've done the diligence. They've tried it out through trial and error, through, you know, whatever courses of life they have, and found what works for them. And because it worked for them, so we think it can work for us. So what are you saying? I am saying that there needs to be some course of action that you have to take if you are considering becoming an expert in the field. When you become said expert, it's not an option or opportunity is not available to you. It's definitely available. But when you become that expert, it's because you've really become like the teabag in the situation. You have submerged yourself deeply into some hot stuff so that a whole nother level of you can come out. Because before it gets in the teabag, it's tea leaves, and then the transformation hits and when the hot water comes. A lot of people want to negate the hot water to get to the next level. But until you go through a hot water situation or a heated situation or a framing situation to get that quote-unquote experience, you can't be the expert. So let's just say your vision, your goal, your dream and desire is to be the business owner. You need to start surrounding yourself with people who are like-minded, because people who don't follow their dreams will often try to crush yours. And you also need to surround yourself with people who have experience in that area and sit down and listen somewhere, not talk, not ask 700 questions, just listen. Because the reality is when we sit back and listen, the learning that can happen may not be your life story, may not be the path you want to take, but to hear other people out who are already doing what you want to do will help frame your path even more. So I'm looking in the Bible, and I come across John. And so we're in the, where are we? Okay, so Jesus is heading to trial, John 18th chapter. And so the soldiers show up to take Jesus away, and Jesus steps forward. I'm going to tell the story, then I'm going to break it down. Jesus steps forward, and he says, who are you looking for? And they say, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am he. Now, Jesus had a whole crew of people with him. But he steps forward. He doesn't hide. He doesn't say, hey, y'all cover. Y'all hold them all. I'm going to go run over here and hide. No, none of that. Who are you looking for? I am he. That's what he said. So this went on about 3 times. Asked the same question. Who are you looking for? We're looking for Jesus. I am he. Who are you looking for? Jesus. I am he. So 3 times. 1, 2, 3. Means something, but we'll get into that later. Instead of doing a whole bunch of different options, instead of causing a big scene, instead of making this a whole preaching thing, why are you trying to oppress the Nazarene, all that? Nazarene lives matter. Leaders' lives matter. Instead of holding protests and fighting and reorganizing his troops, he owned up to what he was called to do. I find it interesting that in life, many of us don't own up to what we are called to do, don't own up to our course in life, don't own up to anything. We, as soon as the water gets hot, we're tea bags now, remember? As soon as the water gets hot, it's too hot. Oh, Jesus, oh, save me. Oh, Lord, please get me out. Oh, Lord, then you call on everybody else to have a pity party. And then all of a sudden, this world news, you all on social media, free my homie Jesus. What? If you did what the crime was, or if you caused an event to happen, so you just have to own up to that. You can't keep denying. You can't keep running. You can't live your life on the run. You have to go ahead and live up to that. Because here's the thing about life. The world as we know it is round. Whatever you dish out, whatever seed you sow, you're going to have to accept the fact that it's going to come back to you in one way, shape, form, or the other. These are just natural things that happen. These are like laws. This is permanent stuff like gravity. The same way you can stand up and stuff falls down is the same way if you've caused others to fall, you will fall. Some of us are wrongfully persecuted, and we go through that as well. But when you're persecuted for doing what you did and you did it, you're going to have to go through whatever it is you have to go through. And there's no point in trying to be deceptive in the fact that you've caused all these things to happen in your life. What you can only hope is that the ripple effects of your actions don't really take down too many other people. And that's the other thing. When we're making these conscious decisions and we are so aware and in tune at what we're going to do and what we feel like doing, we need to realize there are ripple effects of our actions. There are consequences and repercussions that follow every decision, good, bad, or indifferent. Whatever you're putting out there comes back to you. That's why we keep saying speak life. While we keep saying be positive, while we keep saying be optimistic, while we keep saying look above, look higher, surround yourself with higher, because that's the level you will obtain. Because, again, what you're putting out there is what has to come back to you. I don't know what the law is that supports that, but it just is what it is. I know the Bible says seed time and harvest, but I'm sure that some science is a study, and there's really a law about that. We talked about the butterfly effect last week, that even the littlest thing that you do can cause consequences and repercussions later on in your life and in the lives of others. And it seems like it's something small. We were talking about the positive last week, but there's also a negative. The smallest ripple effect that you cause is still a ripple effect. When I grew up and there was a pond behind my house. And so occasionally me and my cousins would go down the path, go in the woods, and go to this pond. For kids, one of the best things, because I don't do the whole worm thing if I have to go fishing, but for kids, one of the best things you can do is skip rocks. Or for me, it was throw rocks into the pond because I wasn't really good at the skipping thing. But every time, no matter what size the rock was, every time you threw it, it made ripples. And every ripple always went from the point of entry all the way to the edge of the pond. Every time. Never fail. So when you do this for yourself, because a lot of us are trial people, let me see what she's talking about. Throw something into a pond. Every ripple effect, no matter how big, how small, no matter if the waves were coming, none of that mattered. But the ripple effect had to stretch all the way to the edge. When you're making these decisions, when you're making these choices, when you're choosing to procrastinate, when you're choosing to hesitate, when you're choosing not to walk in your gift, when you're choosing not to seek out your calling, when you're choosing not to study to show yourself approved, when you're choosing not to go higher, when you're choosing not to get answers to your questions but to accept what has always been said to you, when you are choosing not to build your relationship on a higher level, when you are choosing not to date people but just keep making babies with them, when you are choosing to continue to take the drugs that are going to kill you quicker than your life path has meant to be, when you are choosing all of these things, just know that there are side effects, consequences, and ripple effects. Now, here's the thing about the skipping rocks and the throwing rocks in the pond. Occasionally, we all know that below the surface there's fish. Cool. I'm not even thinking about them. But what about the life on top of the pond? What about the geese and stuff? What about the other things that are around in the pond that are affected because you made a choice to throw your rock, because you made a choice to be out there on the streets, because you made the choice not to accept help, because you're making these other choices in your life, now something else that's in the pond with you is now suffering, has to ride out some waves that they did not cause, has to go through some turbulence that's really not theirs, has to go through a situation that's really not their own or not of their own causing because of you. While we're doing all this introspection, while we're looking in the mirror, while we're reflecting on our path, you've got to know that what you're doing and what you have done, the ripple effects are still going, and someone else is going to feel that turbulence. So if you're not willing to do stuff for yourself to be the best version of you that you can be, if you're not willing to live out loud and live on purpose, if you're not willing to do any of that stuff, you're still causing ripple effects for other people because you may have the cure that they need for the ailment that's in their life, but you're choosing not to walk down the brighter, straight, narrow path of focus, diligence, and hard work. You're choosing to be on the broad path of partying, distractions, and procrastination, and now the very thing that's within you never gets planted, never gets nurtured, never gets watered, and the world does not get it. And so now more people are suffering, more people are hurting, more people are just in a state of having to deal with your turbulence. At what point are we, who say that we want to be like Jesus, going to be like, yep, it's me, and suffer, go through, be arrested, you know, own up for the choices that we've made? In his time, the charges against Jesus was basically simple. You are coming against Rome. You're saying that you are a king. We've already got kings set up. He tells them, look, my kingdom is not of this land. No, they didn't understand that. They weren't really ready for that. They didn't want to open up their minds to the possibility of that. So what he was doing was legally against the law at that time because you couldn't come against Rome. They have people in place. This is how it is. And if you threaten it, we have to kill you. So that was the whole thing with him. Whatever it is that you're up against, persecution usually means you're on the right path. Because if no one's resisting you, you're not doing anything. If you're not getting any resistance, you're not doing anything. If no one's talking about you, you're not doing anything. You're pretty much irrelevant. Make your life a little more relevant. Get on the right path. Go through what you go through and own up to the stuff that you've done. Yeah, I did that. Yep, that's me. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to continue on that path, that's on you. But if you want to make a change, that's on you too. Because the man who says he can and the man who says he can't, both right. Because you're speaking it into existence. Your brain is reacting to it. The universe is reacting to it. The butterfly effect is in effect. It's going out into the world. You are speaking life of one form or another. Is it the positive, grand, optimistic life that we would love you to lead and to live it out loud? No, you're choosing the opposite. Either way, you're making a choice with your actions or your inactions. You're making a choice. The ripple effects are there based upon your choice. What stops the ripple effects? Large objects who cause different ripple effects, or not throwing that stuff out there, because sometimes prevention is the greatest reduction of negative ripple effects. So if you're not throwing anything out into the lake, the pond, the river, the creek, the course of life, then of course nothing's going to happen. But if you've been given the opportunity, if you've been given the life to lead, and you're choosing to always stay in the background, you don't have to worry about ripple effects because nothing's happening. Or do you have to worry about ripple effects because nothing's happening? At some point, it's a choice. At some point, it's an option. At some point, you have to open up your eyes and say, hey, wow, that's deep. My inaction, my unwillingness to change, my ability to procrastinate and find an excuse and to argue and debate every cotton-picking thing that people tell me, wow, that is really hindering me, my growth, my family, my choices, my decisions. It's really blocking your blessing because you are choosing something different. You are off course in this gift called life. But at any point in time, today, this morning, right now, you can choose. I'm going to get on course. I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to own up to what I did. I'm not going to let anyone cover for me. I'm not going to take the blame for me because I've been causing negative ripple effects for too long for people around me. Now I'm going to go through whatever it is I have to go through because it's only going to take me to the next level of where I need to be. But until there's some accountability, until you start to correct some stuff, until you start to face some stuff head on, not going to change. A lot of people are like, it's not happening overnight. Nothing happens overnight, especially if you put yourself into something called bondage, especially if you've attached yourself to something that's not meant for you to be attached to, especially if you've grown this lifestyle of procrastination, hesitation, resistance, arguing with authority. If you've grown that lifestyle, you've got to cut all of that down and away, and then you've got to replace all of that. Then you've got to wait for the season. So all you're doing right now is really nurturing the new stuff till your season comes back around in order for you to grow and to manifest and produce life. But if you choose not to, if you choose to remain the same, then that's exactly what you're going to get. If you're doing the same thing day after day, expecting different results, it's not going to happen. Results only come when we do those things that are needful, necessary, and warranted. Warranted, yes. Those things that have to happen in order for the next thing to happen. And sometimes we've got to go down before we can go up. Have you ever gotten on an elevator, like you hit the up button, and you're trying to go up higher and higher and higher, but the elevator's already on a set course to go down before it goes up? It's slightly frustrating, but as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Your deepest understanding, the days that you're building your best bonds with your creator, God, when you're doing all of that, for many of us, it's when we're at low points. Should it be that way? No. Does it happen that way for a lot of people? Yes. When Paul had his great transformation from being this slayer of Christians to now becoming a leader in the quote-unquote Christian church was after he had a downward experience to some, but it really was an upward path. So he's doing all this killing and slaying of Christians. He's slaying these people because that's what he believed it. He had conviction about it. And when you believe something, you have conviction. That's when you can really be used. Whole another subject. But he believed it. He had this conviction about it. Then one day, he had an encounter that blinded him, took away his vision, took away his sight. He could not see, but he heard a voice. He responded to the call of the voice saw the whole bright light, and then couldn't see anything after that for 3 days until he got on the right course to go to the place that the voice told him to go to meet the person the voice told him to meet, until he was really willing to accept the person he met while he was, quote-unquote, down. And whatever it was that happened during that downtime, being struck and being blinded and losing senses and losing control, whatever that was for him, it turned his whole life around. Same person, same passion, same conviction, different team. Matter of fact, not only just a different team, but the rival team. Not only the rival team, but the opposite team. Now, he had studied this, so he had a good foundation of the knowledge, but then he had a heart experience. He had a mind experience. He had a life-altering experience. And a lot of us wait for these big old life-altering experiences in order for us to change and transform. And we think that we have unlimited amounts of time. We do not. We do not have an unlimited amount of time based upon nature, based upon biblical principles, based upon the stars and the sky. You do not have an unlimited amount of time to make the changes that you need. And why would you continue to wait for this big miraculous event to happen, for you to see your whole life flash before your eyes in a blink, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye? Why would you wait for something big and dramatic to happen instead of go ahead on and make the changes you need to make now when you're faced with the truth? Because here it is. I find it so interesting that we would jump on these campaigns of, oh, and we'll wear all these ribbons to support all these causes for these diseases, but most of these diseases are preventable. Why do I need to wear a ribbon to say, hey, I don't like this disease, when, hey, the cure, the solution, and the cure and the solution for the disease is a lot of preventable actions. We sit here and just praise the effect and worship the effect and have these parades and marches and fundraising campaigns for the effect. You've lived a certain lifestyle that's gotten you to that point for 80% of the people, and then you want someone to wear a ribbon and walk 5 miles and 5Ks and all this because you've chosen to live this lifestyle? I just find it interesting. Let me pull that back. We're going to get back to accountability in our situations. I'm just saying. I digress. I apologize. It is what it is. Sometimes when I get passionate about stuff and stuff confuses me, I just have to put it out there in the atmosphere. But that's part of the ripple effects. You choose to go to the donut shop 6 out of 7 days a week. You choose to fill your body with the bad stuff, the stuff that the doctors told you about, the stuff that the CDC has told you about. You choose to continue to eat food that has worms in it. You choose to continue to eat GMOs. You choose to continue to do all this negative stuff to yourself. And then when you stretched out in some hospital bed and some doctor's pumping on your chest, then you want everybody to wear a ribbon and remember the good times when you could have made the opposite choice and not gone through all the suffering, not gone through all this pain, not gone through all this undue stuff that you're causing, you have caused, lifelong causing of negative stuff. Now all these people are campaigning and rallying and cheering. I want you, oh, we got to do this, we got to get that. Doing all this stuff for something that was preventable? And, okay, whole another subject, I know. Please be accountable for what you're doing. That's the whole point, accountability today. Be accountable for what you're doing. Be accountable for what you have done. Be willing to face all of that head on. So who ate the donut? I did. So who didn't walk around the track? I did. So who chooses to be distracted by social media? I choose. Choose all. Admit it. It's part of your story. And your story has to be told. As you're living your life out loud, one of the greatest things you can do is tell your story. But if you're the caterpillar that's content crawling around on the ground, please do not continue to expect other people to cheer for you when you have the ability to get up off the ground, make a cocoon, isolate yourself for a season, and then come out as something totally different and be willing to fly over the things that you were once crawling through. If you're choosing to remain the same, if you just want to be a caterpillar, let people know so we're not cheering you on to be a butterfly. If you're choosing not to go through any situations, just put it out there that you don't want to change, because if you wanted change, you would. Put it out there that you don't want to do better, because if you want it better, you would do better. Put it out there that you don't want any respect, because if you wanted respect, you would act respectfully, dress respectfully, carry yourself respectfully. Just put it out there so we know up front, oh, based upon your behavior, this is what you want. So there's no point in me constantly calling to care more about you than you care about yourself. I'm just saying, if you're going to live that lifestyle, go ahead and own up to that. You call yourself Christian, do what Jesus did. Own up to what you did. When they're looking for you, because there's consequences to the choices you made, own up to that. Who are you looking for? You looking for me? I'm right here. Own up to that. And you don't have to go through any of that alone. You have to go through any of that isolated. You don't have to go through any of that by yourself. But you do have to go through some things based upon the actions that you've chosen to make. There's natural consequences. There's natural things that will have to happen in order for life to be what it is. And stop looking for hardships to go away. Some of this stuff, some of these beds you've made, go ahead on and lie in that. Feel the full effect of your choices. Feel it within yourself. Know that you caused some ripple effects for some other people, and you can't take that back. You can only make it better. Know that you are still causing negative ripple effects in the lives of others who are just trying to make it in their own lives, trying to ride out the things for themselves. And then here you come throwing all this other stuff on them because you're choosing the path that you're choosing. What you have chosen and what you are choosing is affecting others in ways that you may or may not be aware of. But if you are aware of it and you continue to do it, you're leading a very selfish, self-centered life, and that's not living up to your full purpose, your full calling, and it's not living out loud. That's living very murmured. That's living very muzzled. And the stuff that's murmuring you and muzzling is the stuff you choose to allow to murmur you and muzzle you. I will not be defined by my past choices. Mm-mm. Yep, I did it. It happened. I was that chick. Yeah. That made me grow and develop into the person I am now. Own that. Respect that. That was the process that got you here. Granted, a lot of it was your choice, your decisions. You're quote-unquote grown. You every woman. You Superman. Okay, well, these are the choices of being all that. And now that you've made those choices, make the choice to own up to it, continue to look in the mirror, and now speak life over yourself. Speak positivity over your situation. See yourself differently. And as you see these things and visualize these things and really creatively visualize your new reality, as you do all of that right there, then you're going to have the life that you've really been sent here to have. You're going to have the life that's full of the juice because you've been squeezed and pressed so much that nothing but juice and oil can come out of you. But it's not going to happen until you start to have that conversation with yourself, until you are real with yourself. You can say it till the cows come home that you want change, but if your actions are not, you know, leading up to that, if your actions aren't saying that, aren't confirming that, then that's not what you want. A lot of people sit in churches every day, and say that they're Christians, they're believers, and their lifestyles are something totally different. You don't want that to be you. You don't want to be the hypocritical person. Stop being hypocritical in your life. Be about the life that you say you're about. If you study in the Bible, study it and apply it. If you study in the Quran, study it and apply it. If you study in Buddha, study it and apply it. You want that numerology, astrology kick, study and apply it. Do what it is. Be about the business that you need to be about. And your life is your business right now. And you got to make your life a Fortune 500, Fortune 100. You got to make your life worth the breath that you're breathing. Oh, I said all of that just to remind you that, yes, your life, you, right there, you, your life is worth living. Worth living out loud and playing low and settling and not being accountable, it's not helping you any way, shape, or form. It's actually hindering you. Live life ever. You're still that caterpillar crawling around, inching and inching and inching. At some point, you can make the decision to go ahead on and build that cocoon. Go ahead on, take a step back, spend some time with yourself, and transform into what you need to be. So I'm excited you tuned in. We'll be back on Thursday for our official 300th episode. Couch Conversations, hosted by, yeah, me, Rev J. Check us out on social media. Facebook usually has most of our stuff. Google+, Vine, Instagram, Twitter. We're all over the World Wide Web, making sure you know your life is worth living and living out loud. Until then, you guys have a great, terrific, thankful Tuesday. And think about that. Think about the ripple effects you're causing. Have a good one. Bye-bye.